Here is the Cannabis B News with your host, Joe Jameson.
Hello, listeners. How are you doing today? This is episode CBN 022, 3/20/2013. Wow, this has been a busy week for me. This episode's going to be short, but I'm going to try to put out another episode for this week in a couple of days, so keep an eye out for it. But for now, let's get to our articles. Article number one, doctors call for a study of marijuana. Man, everybody needs to be studying this stuff. I know the benefits of it. Do you? All right, take it away, B.
Doctors call for study of marijuana. By Chelsea Conaboy. Source, bostonglobe.com. The Massachusetts Medical Society, which steadfastly opposed the medical marijuana ballot question approved by voters in November, called on Friday for large-scale research of the drug's potential medical uses to ensure it is tested in the same rigorous way as prescription drugs. At the same time, the organization representing the state's doctors said it has dropped a push to change federal regulations and remove marijuana from a list of the most dangerous drugs, a classification that some scientists cite as an obstacle to the research. Dr. Richard Agababian, the group's president, sent a letter in October urging the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration to facilitate research by reclassifying marijuana, removing it from a list of the most dangerous illegal substances for which regulators see no currently accepted medical use. The agency responded recently, saying marijuana's status as a Schedule I drug does not preclude scientific research on the plant or its components, as long as the research receives proper approvals. Given this information, it's time for medical and scientific communities to develop large-scale clinical trials to determine whether marijuana is safe and effective as a medical intervention, Agababian wrote Friday on the Society's website. Such research should identify all the treatment protocols that would apply to a standard pharmaceutical therapy, including indications, contraindications, dosages, length of therapy, side effects, and more. But the people trying to do exactly that work say the Schedule I classification does get in their way. Agababian cites the work of a California research center led by Dr. Igor Grant. With state funding and access to the only federally sanctioned supply of marijuana, that center has conducted a series of small studies that have found marijuana relieved pain in patients with HIV or other conditions and eased muscle stiffness in people with multiple sclerosis. Grant and colleagues wrote last year in the Open Neurology Journal that marijuana's Schedule I classification is untenable and inaccurate. The body of evidence showing marijuana may help to control pain and nausea is growing, they wrote, and larger trials are warranted. The classification of marijuana as a Schedule I drug, as well as the continuing controversy as to whether or not cannabis is of medical value, are obstacles to medical progress in this area, the researchers wrote. Rick Doblin of Belmont, executive director of the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, said the real obstacle to research is not the drug's classification but limits on access to the federal drug supply. He called it a monopoly by the National Institute of Drug Abuse, aided by the DEA. His association has tried to gain access to the sanctioned drug to study the effects of marijuana in veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, but the proposal was rejected by federal reviewers who said it was not scientifically sound. The group is trying again. The association has been working for 12 years with a University of Massachusetts professor to try to establish another facility in which to grow marijuana in the controlled setting that research requires. The DEA denied the professor's application for a facility license in 2009, a decision he is appealing in federal court. The Medical Society does not plan to respond to the DEA letter, spokesman Rick Gala said. The letter satisfies our concern, Gala said. We still must recognize that marijuana has a potential for abuse and is prohibited under federal law.
Thanks, B. Article number 2. California marijuana legalization backers hope to get measure onto 2014 ballot. Take it away.
California marijuana legalization backers hope to get measure onto 2014 ballot. By Aaron Senkin. Source, HuffingtonPost.com. The push to legalize marijuana, both in its standard and non-psychoactive hemp forms, is alive and well in California. The California Cannabis, Hemp and Health Initiative plans to start collecting the necessary 500,000-plus signatures this May to get a measure on the 2014 ballot that would legalize marijuana in many forms. The bill would specifically allow both the growing and possession of marijuana, direct the legislature to establish a regulatory, taxation and licensing structure for the retail sale of cannabis, legalize industrial hemp production and prohibit state officials from enforcing federal law which explicitly states that pot is illegal over state law. While California voters rejected a marijuana legalization bill in 2010 by a margin of just under 700,000 votes, the backers of this current initiative hope that successful efforts mounted in Colorado and Washington in the interim may have helped push public opinion far enough in their direction to overcome any opposition. Some drug law reformers have questioned the wisdom of aiming for a 2014 legalization ballot measure. As a midterm election, it likely won't draw the same level of interest as something put before voters in 2016. We need to take a breath, because we're California, and we're super complicated, Amanda Ryman, California policy manager for the Drug Policy Alliance, told the Sacramento Bee. As such, many legalization backers plan on targeting their resources for 2016. Mounting a viable pro-marijuana ballot campaign isn't cheap. According to campaign finance tracker MapLight.org, the backers of Prop 19 outspent their opponents by $3.7 million and still came up short. Even if the 2014 measure were to pass, it would leave California's marijuana industry in limbo. Pot would be permitted on the state level but remain illegal on the federal level. Hoping to rectify that, a pair of Democratic congressmen, Earl Blumenauer Dior and Jared Polis DiColo, introduced a bill earlier this month that would allow any state that to chooses to legalize marijuana to do so unperturbed, as long as federal taxes are paid on all sales. Meanwhile, up in Sacramento, a couple of legislators are looking to take on similar issues while leaving behind much of the political baggage that comes with advocating outright legalization. State Senator Mark Lino de San Francisco and Assemblyman Alan Mansour R. Carlsbad recently introduced bills that would legalize California's production of hemp. The legislation would revise the definition of marijuana to exclude industrial hemp, meaning varieties of the cannabis plant containing less than 0.3% of THC. Under the proposal, hemp products would be regularly tested by the Drug Enforcement Agency in order to ensure that THC levels remain below the legal threshold. Hemp, which has a wide variety of uses from clothing to biofuels to fishing bait, is illegal to produce in California, leading to significant imports from countries like Canada. States such as Oregon and West Virginia have laws on their books permitting hemp production. However, even in those states, hemp isn't produced on an industrial scale due to it being illegal on a federal level. As such, the state's large demand for hemp products presents a significant business opportunity for potential California hemp producers. California manufacturers of hemp products currently import from around the world tens of thousands of acres worth of hemp seed, oil, and fiber products that could be produced by California farmers at a more competitive price, and the intermediate processing of hemp seed, oil, and fiber could create jobs in close proximity to the fields of cultivation, argues Lino in his bill. This bill isn't Lino's first attempt at cultivating industrial hemp production in the state. A previous effort on the same subject was vetoed by California Governor Jerry Brown in 2011. The Sacramento Bee reports. In a veto message, Brown said federal law considers industrial hemp to be a regulated, controlled substance, and that failure to obtain a federal permit would subject California farmers to federal prosecution. Although I am not signing this measure, I do support a change in federal law, Brown said in a veto message. Products made from hemp, clothes, food, and bath products, are legally sold in California every day. It is absurd that hemp is being imported into the state, but our farmers cannot grow it. The California Narcotics Officers Association opposed Lino's prior hemp legalization on the grounds that, because it's difficult to tell hemp plants from standard pot plants using the naked eye, illegal marijuana plants could be easily hidden inside of a larger field of hemp.
Let's move on to article number 3. Steve Kratz, marijuana arrest is bad, but hypocrisy is worse. Isn't that so true? Take it away, B.
Steve Kratz's marijuana arrest is bad, but hypocrisy is worse. By Gerald McKinstry. Source, Newsday.com. When Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton uttered the nonsensical excuse during his 1992 run for the presidency that he didn't inhale, many people seemed more put off by his answer than with his partaking in a joint decades earlier. Since then, the public seems more tolerant of marijuana. Even though it remains illegal, marijuana use nowadays doesn't raise so much as an eyebrow for many people, unless of course a state lawmaker gets busted for smoking it on his way to work. That's when it becomes a punchline. Awesome. Steve Kratz, a Republican from Yorktown, was busted last Thursday for speeding on his way up the New York State Thruway, just south of Albany when he was reportedly going 80 mph in a 65 mph zone. The state trooper who pulled him over smelled marijuana coming from the car and found Kratz in possession of a small bag that he promptly handed over. Kratz, 58, was charged with two violations, unlawful possession of marijuana and speeding. He was released on an appearance ticket and has to appear in town court on March 28. In a written statement, Kratz said it won't impede his public service or efforts to enact real mandate relief. This should not overshadow the work I have done over the years for the public and my constituency, the statement concluded. I am confident that once the facts are presented that this will quickly be put to rest. It's hard to know if it will overshadow his outspoken calls for the repeal of New York's gun law or the frankness in which he called on Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver to resign earlier this year after his response to sexual harassment claims against veteran Assemblyman Vito Lopez, D. Brooklyn. But the blowback may not have been all that bad had Kratz not come off so much as a hypocrite. Last year, he voted against a bill legalizing marijuana for medical use and regularly speaks out against illegal drug use in his community. Last time I checked, marijuana was still illegal. Getting busted with it sends a terrible message. Just saying, Steve.
Article number 4. Cannabis scratch and sniff cards to track down farms in the UK. Wow, that's an interesting one. They're little cards. Scratch and sniff to smells like marijuana. Crazy. Take it away, B.
Cannabis scratch and sniff cards to track down farms. Source, bbc.co.uk. Marijuana-scented scratch cards are to be posted to thousands of households in a bid to detect illegal cannabis farms. Crime Stoppers, which runs the campaign, said the cards would help people to recognize the smell of cannabis and report suspected plantations to police. The charity said there was a 15% rise in the number of cannabis farms found in homes between 2011 and 2012. The West Yorkshire Police area had the largest number of cannabis plantations uncovered in the UK. According to the Association of Chief Police Officers ACPO, about 1,800 cannabis farms were found in the area by officers between 2010 and 2012. South Yorkshire had the second highest number with 1,600 farms uncovered in the same period. Other hotspots included London, where more than 1,200 farms were detected, Greater Manchester, which had 800 plantations uncovered, and Humberside, where officers found nearly 300 cultivations. Crackdown on cannabis. Andy Bliss, from ACPO, said, "Many people don't realize that the empty, run-down house or flat on their street with people coming and going late at night may actually be a commercial cannabis farm. It's not just the stereotype of the remote rural set or disused industrial estate unit. These farms are often run by organized criminals and they bring crime and antisocial behavior into local communities, causing real harm and leaving people feeling unsafe." Crime Stoppers said growers were moving away from commercial and industrial properties and using homes to cultivate the plants. The green and black cards, which are being distributed to 210,000 households, release a scent when scratched that replicates the smell of cannabis during its growing state. The charity hopes the campaign would lead to a crackdown on the crime. Roger Critchell, director of operations at Crime Stoppers, said, We are distributing scratch and sniff cards because not many people know how to recognize the signs of cannabis cultivation happening in their neighborhood. Many are also not familiar with the established links between this crime and serious organized crime. The initiative started 3 years ago in Holland, where 30,000 scratch cards were distributed to homes.
Thanks, B. That's all I have for today, but I'm going to try to produce another episode sometime in a few days. This one is short. I just had a super busy week. But until next time, y'all have a good day, good night, good week, or good few days. Till next time. Bye-bye.
We pollinated your minds. Now, go pollinate the world.